And live here at First String Sports, where I do my show every Saturday morning from 10 to 12. Actually, four more shows for the school year. Take a couple months off, get a breather. Obviously, no high school sports to speak about. There's always things that are moving and AAU stuff and 7-on-7, but don't really talk about that during summer. It's not newsworthy all the time, but we come back and we ramp it up quick. So we're going to have four more shows, like I said, go all the way through June, the beginning of June, and then come back in August and hit the ground running. So, yeah, I love doing the show from First String Sports. I call it the place to be. Do it from the Letterman's Jacket room off to the right-hand side. If you're unfamiliar with First String Sports, and why are you? Because tons of coaches and organizations do their business here, and for good reason. They are definitely stocked with everything that you would need for football, basketball, baseball, softball. I mean, I always see boxes on top of the counters. They're unboxing stuff, putting everything out there. Letterman's jackets are laid out across the counters, getting those configured. So First String Sports, my day one sponsors. Love these guys over here on Blackstone Avenue. Come check them out. Also want to give out a shout out to Fresno and Clovis Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. They have a Fresno location on 6162 North Blackstone Avenue, and in Clovis as well, 395 Herndon Avenue. Just great sponsors, really big supporters of high school sports. Make sure you guys check them out as well. Also want to shout out the foundation at FCOE. And as always, the Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating Weather Report. Just beautiful weather. Get used to it, guys, because it's going to begin next Tuesday. Just looking at my Steve Jobs-issued iPhone, and we're going to be hitting those 90 degrees starting on Tuesday. It's going to go nowhere but up. But today, right now, about 67 degrees, high of 82. A little bit windy last night. Not too bad, and I think it's going to ramp up around 1 o'clock, the wind. So be a little prepared for that. But, yeah, next week it's coming. So enjoy that 82-degree weather today. Loaded show today. Loaded show. Baseball, softball playoffs began yesterday. Track and field is in full force. Division I track and field championships at Sanger. State swim and dive is at Clovis West once again. And then, obviously, the CIF State Track and Field Extravaganza, as I like to call it, is going to be happening the same week as baseball and softball championships. So, as far as a fan of high school sports in the central section, yeah, a little bit of a bummer because the State Track and Field is an incredible event. But, yeah, this just signifies the end of school. Before I get into who's coming on the show, I want to give a shout-out to my daughter, Georgie. My oldest daughter graduated from Fresno State yesterday morning. 7:45 is when the ceremony began. We were there super early, and the place was packed. St. Martin Center was packed to the brim. The parking lot, if you guys know anything about Fresno State graduations and what the parking lot looks like, the transitions, right? You're trying to get out, and the next ceremony is trying to get in. So there's a little bit of controlled chaos there, but congrats to Georgie, who graduated with a degree in business with emphasis on marketing. She is going to be working at Oraz Elementary in the Clovis East District in a class for severe autism. She's going to be working on her special education credential while she's working there. So she is she's an incredible person, has a great heart, big heart for autistic kids, and she does a great job. She's got a lot of good feedback from people in Clovis Unified. So congratulations to my daughter, Georgie Randall. She's got married a couple years ago. So it was a great day yesterday for her and our family. All right, so I mentioned this power-packed episode that we're having today. Five segments after this with five different guests. So a little bit of a rapid fire. After the break, we got Fresno High coach Jason Pappy. He's going to be talking about the Fresno 7-5 win over Mission Prep in their playoff game yesterday, 22-4 on the season. They're going to be traveling to #1 Bakersfield Christian on Tuesday after Coach Pappy. We've got Redwood coach Dan Hydash The Rangers, if you guys missed it, defeated Clovis. Came on the road up 99. They were ranked number 11 in the D1 playoffs. Defeated number 6, Clovis, 7-1. Strong pitching, this Miami commit, Wyatt McCrary. This guy's a dude. I heard just glowing reports about him yesterday. He's been hurt for a lot of the season, but comes in throwing 91, 92, and defeats the Cougars. So the Clovis Cougars season comes to an end. At the top of our number two, Cannon Sanchez. A little bit of a football talk today and some volleyball talk. Cannon Sanchez, a head coach at Hanford High School, friend of the show. Just a great guy. Incredible offensive mind. Those that know what type of offense they run at Hanford. Just lots of quick stuff and no huddle. He was able to hang out with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. It was part of a dream come true. So he was with them for, I believe, a week, maybe 6 days. One of 25 that were invited to the camp. Got to hobnob with the coaches and be in players' meetings. Got to be on the field, just learning a ton of stuff. So he's coming in here to First String Sports. We're going to talk about his incredible week. And I mentioned volleyball. There was a really good Division I championship game on Thursday. Buchanan was able to come back over Clovis High. They were down 2-0 and came back and won 3-2. So John Jay, who is the head boys and girls coach, and yes, the girls volleyball team won the Central Section championship as well. He's coming in first time. Actually, we're going to do a radio or a phone interview with him. He's coming on the show for the first time. Excited to talk to John. When I first started covering high school sports in late 2014, he was at Buchanan. So I've gotten to know John over the years. Really good guy, really good coach as well. And finally, like I said, rapid fire, a lot of quick conversations, but I want to get all this great information out to you guys and hear from these coaches. Liberty Bakersfield coach Tony Mills is coming in. They defeated Clovis West yesterday 12-2 in a shortened game, hit 5 bombs at their place. They were seeded number 4. They're going to be hosting Buchanan on Tuesday. So Coach Mills coming on the show. That Buchanan team, the game that we broadcasted last night, beat Madera 12-5. I'm going to go ahead and jump in and just read off as many baseball scores as I can in about 5-6 minutes. We'll see how fast I can go. So in Division I, at the top of the bracket, was number 1 seeded St. Joseph. They had a bye. They're going to be playing Rigetti, the 9 seed, who defeated Stockdale. A little bit of a surprise in that one. Again, an 8-9 game. Anything can go in those. But Rigetti goes on the road. Defeats a pretty darn good Stockdale team, 5-3, so that's a 1-9. Again, on Tuesday, Buchanan and Madera. Now, this is a game that Phil Benanti and I broadcasted yesterday. Buchanan went on top, 3-0. Madera fights back to make it 3-2. And Buchanan makes it 5-2. Madera comes back with a 2-run home run, 5-4. And then in the bottom of the fifth, that's when Buchanan exploded for 5 more runs, tacked on 2 more in the bottom of the six to defeat Madera. Austin Finnegan, we talked about him a lot this year. I think he's going to be the track player of the year. Went 3-for-5, just was smacking the ball. One of his hits was a line drive, diving catch by Ornelas. I forget the kid's first name, for the shortstop for Madera. Made a really good diving play. So he very easily could have went 4-for-5 in that game. Adam Placencia started on the mound. It was a little shaky. Walked the first batter on 4 pitches, gave up a bunt single, and then got out of the inning. But he was effective. When that kid's on, he's got a curveball going. He's a strong pitcher. Went 5 innings. Goodrich came in and closed out the final 2. But that's going to be a really tough game on Tuesday when they travel to Liberty of Bakersfield. You know that field plays a lot different than the fields in Clovis Unified. 5 home runs yesterday. I think they have 456. I have to go through my notes here. Go back here. 57 home runs. That might have even been before last night's 5 homers. But 57 as a team. 4 guys in double digits. So those guys, they know how to play to their strength in that ballpark. They have some dudes, like big physical guys. So Buchanan's going to have to be Have to have a really good pitching performance on Tuesday to come away with a win, but Buchanan certainly has a lot of tools to do that. San Joaquin Memorial and Centennial, 3 seed, were the Panthers, the defending champ Centennial, the 14 seed, and sure enough, the 14 seed Centennial defeated Memorial 6-5. So was it an upset? I mean, on paper, yeah, but I'm not surprised, and nothing to take away from Memorial this season, but Centennial, they're different. They just they don't care. They go on the road. They, you know, beat Clovis North last year in the semifinals, beat San Joaquin Memorial. They're going to be facing Redwood, who defeated Clovis 7-1. We're hearing from Coach Hydash later in the show. So we have a 14 against an 11 seed in round two. At the bottom of the bracket, Bullard had a bye there, the 2 seed. They're going to be facing Clovis North, who defeated Frontier 11-1. That was a shortened game. I think it ended in the 6th inning. Once you get the 10 runs after 5, then the game is over. I believe Davis Wilson did throw in that game, so that sets up a pretty interesting matchup pitching-wise in that 7-2 game on Tuesday at 4:30. That's a game that we're going to broadcast on 1430 ESPN. There's going to be a lot of eyeballs on that game. Parking's going to be at a premium as well. There's going to be a ton of people at that one. So the final 8 in Division 1 is set. And like I said, on Phil Bonatti's show on Wednesday when we did a bracket breakdown, I would not be surprised if any of those 14 teams was going to make it to Visalia, to Valley Strong Ballpark for the championship game. That's just how wide open I think Division One is this year. All right, so a little bit more of a rapid fire before we hit the break and talk to Coach Pappy. Bakersfield Christian is going to be taking on Fresno, who defeated Mission Prep 7-5. Wasn't easy for Bakersfield Christian. They barely squeaked by 16, Atascadero 6-5. So a lot of tight games, a lot of upsets in Division 2. Clovis East defeated Sanger on the road. That's a 12-5 game, 7-6. I hear that was just an incredible baseball game last night under the lights. Just back and forth, intense. You know the rivalry those two schools have had over the years. How about this? Lompoc defeated LD, the 4 seed, 6-4. So that's going to be a 12-13. Clovis East and Lompoc at the top of the bracket. Aurora Grande defeated Kerman 8-7. That was a 3-14. And here's a little bit of an upset. Sierra Pacific falls to Paso Robles 2-1. Tulare Western, a 10 seed, defeated San Luis Obispo 9-2. And how about this upset? This one, I would say, is an upset. Those other games I could see going either way. Hanford defeated Ridgeview, the 2 seed, 7-1. So how about this? Bottom of the bracket, we have of Division 2. We have 15-10, we have 11-3, and we have 12-13, and that's a top 1-8 seed. All right, let's just get through Division 3. I promise we'll dedicate more time to the brackets next week when we know who the championship games are. Kingsburg defeated Tehachapi, no surprise there, 10-2. They're going to be playing Central Valley Christian, who beat Mount Whitney 5-3. Lemoore all over Bakersfield 15-4. They're going to be playing Edison, who scored 22 runs against Mission Oak. That's going to be a good one. Templeton, the 14 seed, shut out Morro Bay 2-0. Garces over Exeter 7-4. Justin Garza put up 16 against Washington Union. They're going to be facing another 15-2. Selma lost to Pioneer Valley 6-3. So we got Justin Garza and Pioneer Valley. All right, we are going to take a break. Wish I had a little more time breaking down these scores. We're going to bring on Jason Pappy, who's going to be advancing, or did advance, to the second round to face Bakersfield Christian after their 7-5 win over Mission Prep. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
1430 ESPN is giving you the best seat in the house. The athletes, the stories, the action that loyal fans want to get inside the game. Whether it's high school, college, or the superstars you know today, Phil Bonatti is taking you behind the bench to give you the best perspective of sports in the Central Valley.
It's Phil Bonatti. Behind the Bench returns Monday with a full reaction to the sports weekend. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
Listen to Behind the Bench with Phil Bonatti every day from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Want to work somewhere fun, flexible, and rewarding? Me and Ed's is hiring. We're looking to expand our team with full and part-time positions at over 40 locations. Join our growing company as a delivery driver or valued team member today. For more information on job descriptions or to apply, go online at meandeds.com or visit your nearest location. Me and Ed's is hiring. Fill out an application.
Precision Civil Engineering is building the valley from the ground up. From planning and land surveying to civil engineering and construction management, they handle it all with the experience you can trust. Proud sponsors of Fresno State Athletics, Precision brings that same commitment to excellence to every project. With over 20 years of experience, they're helping shape the communities we live and work in every day. From concept to completion, it's all done with Precision. Learn more at precisioneng.com. Go Dawgs!
Cyber criminals stole $10 trillion from U.S. businesses last year. Did you know that 75% of businesses hit with ransomware do not survive? Is your company protected? Could your company survive a real-time cyber attack? Get a free consultation from M-Cubed Technologies today. Our team of cyber professionals are here to help and protect you from this real threat. Don't fall victim to cybercrime and risk losing your business. Contact M-Cubed Technologies today at mcubedtechnologies.com.
Sports fans of the Central Valley, are you ready to step up your game day grilling? Step into the Butcher Boss and discover winning flavors the champions crave. Ask about their 5 for 35 deal, where you can feed up to 5 people for 35 bucks every day. Located right off the 41 north of Avenue 11, stop by the Butcher Boss today and become the boss of your barbecue.
Every day, the choices you make matter, especially for your business and the community around you. When you choose to bank local with FFB Bank, your deposits don't sit on the sidelines. They help fund local businesses, create jobs, and strengthen the neighborhoods you serve. With business accounts designed for you, local decision-making, and a team that understands your goals, FFB is here to help you grow. Because your success is everyone's success. Be the one who builds community while building your business. Visit FFB.bank. Member FDIC, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Well, it's finally golf season, and it's probably time to upgrade your golf bag. If you look good, you play good. At Roger Dunn, trade in your old clubs and get 50% more towards your new ones. Your club's value plus an extra 50% means you upgrade for less. Trade in the old and get the new. It's time to hit the links with a new set of golf clubs. Plus, Roger Dunn carries all the accessories you need. Gloves, shoes, grips, balls, and tees. Because remember, you're always number one at Roger Dunn.
At CDW, we get that a cyborg assistant won't make your employees more productive from home.
Please, call me, Brian. I can vacuum your dog.
That's great. But at CDW, we can design a productivity solution with Lenovo devices that offer fast, reliable connectivity to help your people manage their workloads the right way.
Can I have a human hug?
No. For technology that moves you forward, trust Lenovo and IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Learn more at cdw.com/LenovoClient.
All right, welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. May 16th, year of our Lord, 2026. We are definitely in the thick of it. There's lots of stuff going on high school-wise here in the Central Valley, up and down the state as well. Baseball playoffs. I did my best, guys, to break down some of the scores from yesterday. Didn't get into softball stuff. I know Division I doesn't start until Wednesday. They do the Wednesday, Friday, and then the championships the next week. But a lot of baseball games last night. That was a lot of fun to broadcast Buchanan and Madera and be checking scores at the same time. And one game I was really interested in, and I got to be honest, Rand, I do have some rooting interest on these teams, right? I'm supposed to be impartial, but there are some teams that I especially love to follow and coaches that I love to talk to. One of them is Jason Pappy, Fresno High, is advancing. They're going to be playing Bakersfield Christian on Tuesday after a 7-5 win over Mission Prep at home. Jason, how are you doing this morning, my friend? Good to talk to you.
Hi, Paul. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on.
All right. So Walk us through yesterday's game. Did you guys have a lead early? Did you have to come back? Just kind of, what were the ebbs and flows of yesterday's ball game against Mission Prep?
Yeah, you know, I couldn't be more proud of our guys. They came out. We jumped out to a 6-0 lead, and Mission Prep cut that lead down with 4-1 inning, and then 1-1. Then we answered with another run, and then they loaded the bases up in the 7th inning with no outs, and we ended up finding a way to get out of it. Man, our guys competed. You know, I don't know that, you know, you see the parity in high school baseball, you know, with the seedings and things like that. And I really don't know if people were aware of just how good a team like Mission Prep is. That league on the coast is extremely tough this year. If you look at Mission Prep, you know, you can take the record and their league finish and all that and kind of throw it out the window. I mean, those guys have played St. Joe, for example, 3 times this year, who is obviously the number one seed Division One, and the same guy that we St. Joe 5-0 one time, and Mission Prep beat him. And then the other 2 times they played in league, St. Joe beat Mission Prep 2-0 and 12-11. And so, you know, I knew going in that that team that we were playing was as good as any in the section, and I knew that our draw was extremely difficult, and that's a whole other topic. That we were going to have to go through 2 private schools, play a Bakersfield Christian team that's extremely talented, that's 6-1 against Division I opponents this year, 5-0 against track schools. And then if we happen to get through that one, then we have, it could have, another track school in Clovis East. So I knew it wasn't going to be easy, but you know what? Our guys are they're just playing their hearts out, and I could not be more proud of how they're playing.
Well, I'm glad you're able to walk us through the end of that game, because playoff baseball, my goodness, you know, the tension and the critical plays. But describing a bases loaded, nobody out situation in the final inning, up a couple runs, just who clutched up for you guys? How'd you get the outs, and what was the feeling when you got that final out?
Yeah, it was a great feeling. You know, our kids, they ended up scoring 1 that inning, so 7-4 going into the 7th. But Jordan Baugh, a junior left-handed pitcher for us, had come on in relief, and you know, he had made some really good pitches, and you know, it was kind of one of those innings where you knew, you saw it coming. Everything that they hit was finding a hole and dropping, and that's kind of what happened early. And you know, he just buckled down, punched a guy out, got a fly out, and then got a pop up in foul territory on the first base side to end it. Made a great fastball in pitch and kind of locked the guy up. And our kids, you know, they were relentless. You know, I did call timeout that day. I went and talked to the infield and said, "Hey, listen, this is what you've worked hard for. This is what you, ever since, you know, we started this fall, you guys play for this. So all I ask you to do right now is leave it all on the field," and they did that. Our kids play with a lot of emotion. They play with a lot of heart, desire. And, you know, I try to coach that every day. We put them in pressure situations as much as we can in practice. We try to always do everything in practice at a game speed so the game doesn't speed up on them. And, you know, I just could not be more proud of how our kids answered the bell and fought yesterday.
And you guys came into that playoff game playing really good baseball. You guys swept Edison to end the season 4-2, 14-1, winning the CMAC. Just talk about the momentum and the confidence level that your team is coming into the playoff. Obviously, you guys clutched up and won the game yesterday, but the confidence level has to be high riding into this playoff.
Yeah, you know, our kids, we try to, you know, we live by the motto, better every day. We try to keep everything in perspective. We talk about just trying to win pitches, win each pitch. Make our outs more productive than the other team. Play 1 inning at a time, so we're playing 7 1-inning games and not 1 7-inning game. Try to score first. Try to win the back half of the game. All these little things that we kind of preach day in and day out, those are the things that matter in the playoffs. You know, it's the 1 inning. It's the 1 mistake. It's the little things that truly make a difference. And I think that definitely comes to light when you look at the upsets, because a number is a number and a seed is a seed. You know, we could talk about seedings and the playoff structure and all that until we're blue in the face, because I do think there needs to be some changes to it. But I tell our guys, you got to beat the best to win it anyway. So, you know, whoever's put in front of you, if we just play against the game of baseball and not against the opponent and take care of ourselves, we're going to give ourselves a good chance to compete and win that game. And that's what our kids have done. They believe in themselves. They believe in each other. They're playing with a lot of energy. And, you know, I mean, it's fun to watch because, you know, we're young in the sense of, you know, we're starting three freshmen right now. And those kids have grown up right in front of my eyes, and they're just competing their tails off. Two seniors that are leading on the field every day, and this group is special in just the sense. And I've had a lot of great groups over, you know, my 25 years at Fresno High. But this group, the way they have worked since day one, it's been really fun to watch. And win or lose on Tuesday, I could not be more proud of this group of guys. I mean, 22-4, CMAC 2 champs. They've done everything I've asked them for. So I couldn't be more proud of them.
Yeah, just checking up on the stats throughout the last month and a half for you guys, or the standings and the rankings and the schedule. It's been over a month since you guys have lost a baseball game, so you're doing a lot of good things over there, Jason. I want to ask.
Can you knock on wood for me, please, Paul?
I'll knock on this plastic table that I sit at here, First String Sports. How about that?
Okay.
I'll do that.
I didn't hear that. Thank you.
I know, right? You got to jump over the lines every time. You can't touch the white chalk on the line. Yeah, you're one of those guys too. Yeah, I definitely can identify with that. I don't want to make too much of this, but you know, you are facing a really good team in Bakersfield Christian. They are, you know, if you go to the Max Preps rankings, they're number 5 overall in those rankings, and that's right. And you think about 14 teams in Division I, so they are that highly thought of. Like, how are you framing that game? You know, did you address it after the game, after you guys beat Mission Prep? You're like, hey, guys, we have an incredible opportunity. A lot of people think that this Bakersfield Christian team could be up in D1. A lot of people thought they would be. But here we are with an opportunity to go down and show them what Fresno High baseball is all about. Is that how you're going to frame it this weekend and maybe even Monday before the game?
Yeah, you know, just take it a day at a time, take it a pitch at a time, take it if we take care of us and just go compete, you know, we'll let the chips fall where they fall. You know, we know how good they are. Everybody knows how good they are. They're definitely a Division I caliber team. Like I said earlier, I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. They're a tremendous program. They're successful year in and year out. To go 5-0 against the track this year, as you know, it's tough to do. And the only team they did not play was Clovis High. They beat everybody else. They beat Clovis North to win the Central Tournament. Like I said, they're 6-1 against Division I opponents. And we know that we're playing arguably the best team in all divisions. And, you know, it's something that our kids get and they understand. But in all honesty, I think our kids are just going to go and give it their best shot and go play the game the right way. And you know, if we take care of us, We'll see what happens, you know. But we're excited. I'm proud of our guys and what they've done. And like I said earlier, you got to play the best to win it all anyway. And whether that would be in a section championship game or in a quarterfinal matchup, you know, our kids are going to go down there and they're going to compete their tails off. And that's all I can ever ask of them.
So I mentioned some of the quote unquote upsets in Division II bracket, especially the bottom of the bracket. You know, Jason, you mentioned that you've been around baseball in 25 plus years coaching, but you're basically born with the baseball in your hand, and you understand how playoffs work, how, you know, throw the seedings out the window. Were those really upsets, right? I mean, in baseball, it's different. If you got a dude that's on the mound and you know he's on fire and he's pitching the best game of his life, that can definitely happen in baseball.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you can take those seedings and it's just a number. When it comes to playoffs, anybody can beat anybody on any given day, and you see that transpiring in all the divisions. Division I was the same way. If you look at those scores, Division II, I mean, the bracket got turned upside down. You know, the biggest thing in the playoffs that could be a a deciding factor is trying to get that home game. And when you get that, you know, that could help you. But, you know, I mean, you got to play the game and you got to play seven innings. And, you know, it's about not giving up the big inning and making the big play and getting a timely hit and those things. And you see it in professional baseball. You see it in college baseball. The team that does the little things better in the playoffs usually wins. Limiting the walks, the free bases, the errors, those type of things. Just playing the game fundamentally sound is what wins baseball games. And so whoever you're against, that guy on the mound obviously is the trump card. And if he's throwing well, you're going to be really good that day. And so for our kids on Tuesday, we're just going to go out there and play loose, have fun, compete, and see where the chips fall.
Oh, one last question for you, Jason. Again, thanks for joining us. You posted a picture, I think it was on Instagram, with Brian Marsupian, just one of the great guys in the central section in the baseball community. He coaches at Buchanan. He ran into your dad early in the morning yesterday. Dad was in full gear. The dude was ready for the baseball game. He couldn't be more excited. Just talk about what that picture meant to you and just kind of like the feeling and seeing your dad in that situation.
Yeah, you know, it's just an honor, first and foremost, to be able to still have my dad sitting right next to me in the dugout every single day. They don't make them like him anymore. He's old school, and that was a true deal. My dad goes to Fresno Bagel every morning. And it was 8:45 in the morning when the picture was sent to me. We weren't playing until 4:30, and my dad was in full uniform. He's that guy. He was always the first one to work. He was always the last one to leave. He's taught me those traits that hard work pays off, and that's what I try to live by as a coach, as a husband, as a father. You know, we're going to outwork everybody, and if you don't do that, then, you know, there's always going to be that, you know, what if. And so my dad being in a uniform at 8:45 truly says a lot about him, his character, and the type of guy that he was. He was game ready, and you can laugh at it, but there's a reason why he was ready to go. And he left there and brought my mom a Starbucks at home and headed right to Fresno High and met me at school yesterday, and he was in his uniform ready to go all day. And so I love it. My dad is something special. He's one of the best high school coaches of all time, and I'm just honored to have him as a father and to be able to follow in his footsteps and still have him coaching with me today.
Well, amazing. I love that story. And I love just how much you admire and respect your father as well. Well, how many hats, though, Jason, do you think he has? Like, does he have some of the old school? I don't think the logo is really or the Fresno High logo has changed very much, except, you know, the Warrior stuff. But what? How many hats do you think he has?
Yeah, you know, my dad doesn't throw anything away. We still got old jerseys. We do a retro purple and gold World Series every single year during the fall where our guys wear old uniforms. And it just so happens that was part of my speech on Thursday to our guys when we were deciding what uniform to wear. I told them, you know, I was up late working on scouting reports and thinking about the game and thinking about what uniform to wear at home. And I just kept thinking back of 1987 at Rawhide Park, my dad's team beating a very good Golden West team for the section championship. That was Bobby Jones's junior year, and I was the bat boy, and they won that section championship in a yellow jersey, and it's the same yellow jersey that we wear for that retro World Series that we play. And so I told our kids, you know, we have a yellow jersey now. And I said, you know, in thinking about this, we're going to go back to 1987, and we're going to compete tomorrow in our yellow jerseys with our old school purple hat. You're right, the hat hasn't changed, like the Yankee hat doesn't change, like the Dodger hat doesn't change. Those logos are the logos, and the Fresno High F has always been the Fresno High F, and it's a purple hat. You know, we have three of them now. You know, our kids have five or six jerseys and three pairs of pants, and we've got a lot of stuff. But the purple hat with the yellow F is the original. And if you saw what we were wearing yesterday, we were wearing the yellow jersey and that original purple hat. So my dad has a lot of stuff. Let's just say that.
I believe it. Hey, and keep getting after it. You're doing a great job, man. Good luck on Tuesday, and we'll definitely be checking those scores. Thanks, Jace, for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you and everything you do for high school sports in this area. So thanks again.
All right, you bet. All right, it's Jason Pappy, Fresno High, playing Bakersfield Christian on the road on Tuesday. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to be talking more baseball. We're going to Division One. Redwood coach Dan Hydash is coming on. His Rangers defeated Clovis High on the road 7-1. They're going to be facing Centennial. Thank you guys for listening. This has been the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Well, you guys know I love talking baseball, especially high school baseball. You know, I have some fond memories of playing back in the day, then coaching at my alma mater, winning a Valley Championship, as we called it back then. So this is, it's kind of my sweet spot, talking about baseball playoffs. And just a great win yesterday from Redwood. The number 11 Rangers defeated number 6 Clovis 7-1. They're going to be facing defending champ Centennial, who defeated number 3 San Joaquin Memorial 6-3. And Coach Dan Hydash is on. Hydash is on the line right now. Dan, appreciate you coming on the show this morning. Just kind of how locked in was the team, both mentally and physically, before going in and facing the Clovis Cougars?
How's it going, guys? Well, thank you for having me on. You know what? We obviously played very well, and I think it started with the practice. Our last practice on Thursday before the game, and you know, I think we prepared well by, you know, we challenged the players to, you know, we knew we were going to face obviously a very good pitcher, and we did some offensive stuff and challenged them, say, you know, how many times will we be on time against this guy, and you know, stress the importance of just doing the little things, taking care of the details, and you know, really our most complete game of the season as far as all facets, offense, defense, pitching. And just like you mentioned, just being locked in for 7 innings, which is always a challenge at the high school level. But again, it's something that we always strive for. And again, we were able to get the job done. Like I said, I'm very proud of the players with their intensity and focus for 7 innings.
Did you ever frame the game and going through the playoffs as like throwing out the seedings? Just talked with Jason Pappy about that a little bit. Again, Division One is wide open, in my opinion, this year. Wouldn't be surprised if anybody that's left would win the Central Section Championship. But you throw out the seedings, you're like, guys, it's baseball. The records do not matter. The seedings do not matter. It's just what happens between the white lines.
Absolutely, and you can look at last year for us. We were the 13th seed, and we had to go to Clovis East, who was the 4th seed, and we were able to get out of there with a win. So our mentality every year is, you know, get in, anything's possible, get hot at the right time, which we've seen over the last handful of years. You know, the hot teams at the end of the year are the ones that get championships, right? And like I said, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to seedings. We knew we were going to be anywhere from like an 11 to 12 or 13. So we're like, hey, let's find out where we're at. Let's prepare for the team that we're going to face, and we don't care about seedings. We just care about the game in front of us.
So you were able to start one of your star pitchers on the mound in Wyatt McElroy. I said his name right. His last name right? Correct.
Yes, McElroy.
Good, good. So what did you see anything in him? They're like, man, this guy is locked in mentally. He's going to pitch a heck of a game today. Was there something that tipped you off that he was ready to perform on the mound?
Well, Wyatt is obviously a special pitcher, and you know he's been our guy the last couple of years, and you know he had that injury this season. So yesterday was really his second start of the season, and he's, you know, just been throwing very limited innings, and he's still working to get in that top pitching shape. And he was dialed in yesterday. You know, any time that he's on the mound for us, we feel good about the game, and he just gives us a great chance because he's that special pitcher. And when he's on, which he was yesterday, he was throwing 3 pitches for strikes and spotting them up. And like I said, he brings that intensity. We're a different team when he's on the mound. Guys know that there's going to be a lot of action because there's going to be balls put in play because he's always competitive in the strike zone. And again, we're just a different team with him on the mound. And, you know, he was that guy yesterday for us that he's been in the past and that we need, you know, if we're going to keep going further in these playoffs.
Let's go back to the game a little bit. You guys jumped on them early. I believe you might score, what, two in the first, two in the second, if I'm not mistaken. Just walk us through how important it was to put up those runs on the board early.
Well, when you face a pitcher like George's again, we knew that we had a tough task at hand going into the game. And that, it was actually the first inning. We got a couple guys on, and we lined into a double play that first inning. But then we were able to come back the second inning. We put two up on the board. And one thing that we've struggled at a little bit this year is, you know, we'd score early and then we wouldn't tack on and try to keep winning innings. We'd kind of wait till the end of the game before we started scoring again. But we were able to get those two in the second, then we were able to tack on one in the third and the fourth. So every inning we were being productive and we were winning innings. And, you know, with every one you get and you have a guy like Wyatt on the mound, you feel better and better and your confidence gets up. And you know, by the second or third inning, all of our hitters were like, hey, we can compete against this guy. We can compete against this team. And, you know, like I said, as a team, we got locked in. And, scoring early obviously is a huge advantage. But I think even more importantly, we continued to score, you know, multiple innings after that. So very important for us yesterday.
Well, yeah, that is super important. And, you know, we saw that in the Buchanan and Madera game yesterday. Buchanan would jump out to, you know, a 2-3 run lead, and Madera would answer. Buchanan would get a couple more runs, and then Madera would answer. So those runs in the fifth and sixth innings are super important in the playoffs. It takes a lot of pressure off, I guess you could say that, to the defense and the pitching staff. I want to talk about your next game on Tuesday, Coach. You guys are playing Centennial, who defeated San Joaquin Memorial 14-3. Defeated them 6-5. Man, those Bakersfield teams those guys are so tough down there. What do you know about them, and what do you have to counteract what they're going to bring to the field?
You know what? We did see Centennial early in the year. I believe they were our fourth game of the season, and we went down to Bakersfield, and obviously they're very good, and we were able to escape with a win down there. Again, it was really early, but they are very talented. They're very well coached. Obviously, they've won two of the last three section D1 titles. And, you know, the Bakersfield teams, I mean, when you look at it, over the last 10 years, I think they've won eight of the D1 section titles, those Bakersfield teams. So they're always quality teams down there, and they beat each other up, you know, during the season. But they're definitely playoff ready. And, we got a tough, you know, game ahead of us on Tuesday. So I think we'll be prepared. We're going to, you know, hopefully have a really good practice on Monday and work on some things that I think will help us be successful during that game. But, you know, hopefully it's a good game. And like I said, two good Division I teams, and we'll see who comes out with the W.
Do you have your pitching lined up for Tuesday? Is it all hands on deck, or do you got another dude that's ready to go?
We do have another guy ready to go, but at this time of the year, it is all hands on deck at Johnny Holstaff. So we're going to do what we have to do, mix and matching, you know, lefty, righty, wherever we are in the game. But, again, this time of year, you can't look ahead to the next game because you got to win the game in front of you or you're done. And I know some teams have kind of been guilty of that in the past, but that's something that we really don't do. We play to win the game that we're in. And we worry about the next game when that happens, if it happens. So, I think we'll be ready. Again, they're very, very good, very talented, and well-coached. And like I said, hopefully it's a good game, and we'll see what happens.
I'm curious, Coach, on your how you're going to frame this answer. Why does this year's Redwood team have as good a shot as anybody out of the final eight that are left as to win a Division I Central Section championship? What makes the Rangers so good?
Well, as you mentioned, you know, it's really wide open. There's not a team that I see that's just hands, you know, above everybody else in the bracket that's left. And with the playoff format the last couple of years, you really can throw your guy three times. And, you know, we can find a way to win Tuesday. That means we get to bounce back Thursday with McElry again. And, you know, if we're fortunate enough to win that one, then we can throw him again in the section title game. So, you know, the Division I level and even D2, everybody's got a guy. Some teams are fortunate enough to have, you know, two maybe, and then some quality pitchers after that. But like I said, when you got a guy like Wyatt on your staff, and you know, like I said, if we can find a way to win on Tuesday, you know, it's not going to be easy, but if we can find a way to win and you come back with a guy like Wyatt, you have somebody like that on your staff that is capable of beating any team in the section, in my opinion, you've always got a chance. So I think that gives us a great chance to go a lot farther.
Yeah, you guys are set up really nicely. Again, home game, you might have not expected that, but not even really thinking about it, but you guys have a home game after traveling yesterday, and you'd be, if you guys would win, you'd face the winner of Clovis North and Buller. I mean, that's just a tasty matchup as a fan. That would be a lot of fun to watch. We got about another 3 minutes with you, Coach. Again, thanks for joining us. Is there a game on your schedule? You mentioned you played Centennial early in the year. That was the second game of the year, way back in February. I mean, it must seem a lifetime ago. But is there a specific game on your schedule, either a game that you lost or a game that you won, that you really learned something about this year's team and what they can do on the field?
You know what? I wouldn't point to a specific game, but I will point to a stretch of the season. We had to deal with a lot of injuries this year. There were multiple games this year where we were missing three or four of our top, you know, four or five guys in the lineup. So it was, from that standpoint, it was a tough year. And as a coach for all these years, I've never had to deal with injuries, especially to top guys like a McElry. And, again, we lost our leadoff hitter, a senior spark plug for us, Aiden Trevino, to a torn ACL early in the year. But really, you know, In the last 3 years, we've kind of ran away with our league, and we've kind of been on coast mode the last 2 weeks, so we haven't been pushed. And then you have these Bakersfield schools that are fighting for, you know, for league championships and playoff seedings. And then obviously you have, you know, like the track teams that are just beating each other up because they're all so good, and they're fighting for league wins and championship. But we've always been in that coast mode, and then we've had to turn it on in D1 playoffs. And even though we've had some success, it's still kind of like, okay, we need to turn it on. But this year, our league was really good, and we had to, you know, scratch and claw to win a championship this year. So I think that kind of set us up, put us in that mindset of that playoff atmosphere, because every game down the stretch was important this year. So I told our players after that last game of the regular season, like, hey, I think as tough as this was, I think it's going to bode well for us in the playoffs, because I think we're playoff ready more so than we've been the last few years.
Yeah, you tied with El Diamante and Menachie. So, yeah, that was a great race. That was fun to watch. A couple more minutes here with you, Coach. I want to end with this. How important is it for the Visalia and Tulare area to showcase how good baseball is down in that area, right? You guys want to compete against the best, the Bakersfield schools, the Clovis schools. But do you feel like you're really representing a certain section of the Central Valley?
Absolutely, and I take pride in that. I think it's something, you know, we've built something special at Redwood, and it's hard to win year in and year out, especially when there's a lot of expectations and that bullseye's on your back, and teams always get up to play Redwood, right? But, I take a lot of pride in that. As a program, our players take a lot of pride in that, and I tell our players all the time, you know, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that. We have to come ready to play every day, but I definitely am proud of all the good baseball in Tulare County over on not just Redwood, but, you know, if you remember, you know, a couple years ago in 2023, we played El Diamante in the quarterfinals of D1. And it just kind of tells you how much quality baseball there is in the central section, but even more so in Tulare County. There's so many talented players and good coaches and you know, good programs. And it's something that we should be proud about. I know Clovis Fresno gets a lot of love, and so does Bakersfield, but a lot of people forget about Tulare County. And as the head coach at Redwood, I'm hoping that Redwood is going to continue to say, hey, there is a team or two down in Tulare County that's pretty good. And I take a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, all the Clovis schools want to play us non-league, and so do the Bakersfield schools. They want to play us. And, again, I think that's it's a great thing.
It's a testament to your program and the good baseball that's down there. I've known that for years. So, hey, Dan, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate it greatly, and good luck next Tuesday.
I appreciate you as well. Thank you for having me on. Thank you.
You bet. You bet.
You're right. Home of the San Francisco 49ers, 1430 ESPN. From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
All right, welcome to hour number two, the Central Valley Sports Report on your local leader, 1430 ESPN. A lot of baseball talk in that first hour. This is one of my favorite times of the high school sports season. And we're going to flip a little bit to football. It's never too early to talk about football. That's kind of one thing that I always say. And, you know, towards the last couple episodes, we'll kind of preview a little bit of next year's football season. Excited about that. But Cannon Sanchez, friend of the show, head football coach at Hanford, spent an incredible 8 days, yep. I found out, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the National Coaching Academy. Involved in the quarterback room, got to be in the thick of the action. Driving all the way from Hanford, I love it when you come in here in person.
Absolutely,
good stuff.
Yeah.
I was curious too. We were talking a little bit about the baseball playoffs, and Hanford had a pretty good day yesterday, both baseball and softball.
Baseball and softball. I think both 15 seeds, yeah, beating the 2 seed. That's a big deal, and just get some momentum.
Yeah, baseball is a different animal than football and basketball as far as playoffs. If you got a pitcher, man, you could ride that guy for a while. We're talking a little bit about baseball and maybe going to 2 out of 3 in the semifinals and the finals. I know that's a thing, but because baseball is different, you could catch somebody on a bad day, can't you?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you have the pitching, or you know, sometimes you're hot hitting and that can, you know, beat a team that's got 20 wins in one day, can change your whole season. You know, it's tough.
Hanford beating the defending champs Ridgeview 7-1, I believe, was the final score. All right, so let's talk some football about your great experience. Are you still kind of processing? Came back on Thursday, I believe, or Wednesday?
Actually, I came back on Tuesday.
On Tuesday?
Yeah. Yep.
Are you still processing everything? Is it like, my gosh, did that really happen? How cool is that?
Yeah, I mean, it was such a whirlwind of the process of getting there and then just being there. It was just football for 8 days straight, and I mean, just in the thick of it. They weren't putting the training wheels on. You were coaching. You were learning the terminology and how they do things there at really all levels of football.
Let's start with the application process first before we get into some specific stuff that you're able to be involved with. When did you hear about this? How'd you put your name in? I'm sure it was all electronically, right? I don't know if there was any phone call conversations, but talk about the genesis of this. How'd you hear about it, and how'd you apply?
Yeah, it was something actually I saw on Twitter, you know, kind of like apply here type of deal. And, So put in my application, my resume, and that type of stuff. And after you kind of put your hard copy stuff in, they go through the applications and they pick a few. And I think they windle it down from 2,000 applicants to 1,000 applicants. And then out of those thousands, then they send you a video depending on what side of the ball you're interested in. I was just, you know, obviously interested in offense. And they send you a clip from the 2025 season. For me, the first clip they sent was a third down call where they're in trips to the field. It's a red zone call. They send 6 guys. Baker changes the protection. They hit the running back down the sideline for a wheel. And but pretty much being able to put it in your terminology, how you would coach that play, the good of it, the bad of it, and kind of what you see. And kind of depending on what that 30-second clip looks like, then that next video is going to be a little bit longer. Then you do some face-to-face interactions. There ends up being 4 different tiers of the application.
Wow. So are you going up to a whiteboard and explaining things, or is it just video of you and you're just going through it?
They didn't want any whiteboard. It needs to be how can you articulate the play, you know? And so it was really, I think, more so to not only kind of test your knowledge, but your communication. You know what I mean? And I think that's a big part of coaching is, like, it's not what you know. It's what you can explain to the players or the rest of your staff. And so just really, yeah, how well can you communicate, I think, was the biggest part of the application.
That's right in your wheelhouse, yeah. Right? That, you probably just absolutely smoked that. So, all right, so you send all these videos. did you get an email that said you have been accepted? What did that look like?
The application process started, you turn your stuff in December, but the back and forth kind of happens in the end of January. And so really, they told you they would contact you in the end of February. So I kind of chalked it up as I didn't kill it like I thought I killed it, you know. And it was the last weekend of March. I get an email from Hannah, and who kind of does their this part of the department, the academy part. And super excited, obviously, you know. It's just a normal day of work and football and everything, and you get that in your email. So, I called my fiance and kind of let my family know, but had to kind of keep it on the down low. They didn't want that to go public until the Buccaneers posted on their social media stuff. So that was hard. And then explaining that to the team, like, I'm not leaving you guys. You know what I mean? That this is just, I think it's cool for myself. Like, I'm still chasing my dreams too to this day. And I'm just eager to learn. And it was an awesome learning process.
So what was swirling in your mind on the airplane, or when you landed, or when you got to the facility at first? What were some prevailing thoughts?
I mean, I think originally I went there into Tampa just trying to tell myself it was just like football is football, you know, regardless at the level of which it's at. And I think I got some reassurance once I was there. But I don't think I was prepared for the attention to detail. Like, I think I had a good idea, but until you're a part of it and just see that the amount of on-field people, off-field people, behind the scenes that are just all driving and tugging towards the same direction was such an awesome deal. But I definitely went there, just trying to absorb as much as I could.
And if I'm right on this, 25 total, right, were there from all different levels. There was an international flavor as well. I think four high school coaches. You were one of only four?
Correct, yep. Yeah.
So who are some of the other guys that you're able to
with? This was the farthest. I was kind of coming from the farthest from America as far as being from the West Coast. Everyone else was pretty much from Texas to the east side, you know what I mean? And high school guys, we had some guys from Georgia, some guys from Illinois, and from some different levels of football. The international guys were so awesome to, learn their knowledge of the game, and just the way they articulate football was a really cool experience. And but just how welcoming the Buccaneers were with regardless of what level you were coaching at. And football is football. And we joked about it with our coaching staff. I sent a text after like the second day to the staff of, I'm in the offensive meeting room and I'm trying to just decipher like the terminology, and just, I can see the play and I know how we're going to call this, but it was, gun speed, right tout, 36 sponge F bubble. And for us, we just call that triple lake 28, it's a 3-word call. For them, it's a 12-word call. But it's attention to detail part of it. And, I want this guy in this alignment. I want to make sure these guys are switched and, whatever. Again, there's details and so much film watching is going on. But, the amount of detail was awesome to see.
So just kind of walk us through your favorite day. Which of those days were your favorite, sun up to sundown? What did that look like for you?
I mean, I've been asked that a couple of times. I think that part is hard just because, it truly was like football heaven for me, because it was just, again, sun up to sundown, it was all football. But I think the things that people don't understand about that week is that it was such a masterclass of just being a coach. Not only were you coaching with the rookies and being a part of OTAs, but, we were having sessions in the auditorium with different people, whether that be Bruce Arians, Tony Dungy, or just their staff, Todd Bowles, Jason Light, who's the general manager there. But I think a really cool experience that I really got to soak in was they have a position there, which is director of player relations. And his name's Duke Preston. He played offensive guard for the Bills for like 6 years. So he's been with Tampa for a long time now. And his job is just to kind of run interference of teaching the rookies how to be a professional, or even if it's a veteran, like, how do I operate when, Coach Pill, the tight ends coach, hey, man, he's not getting me reps. Like, how do I converse with that guy? How do I mediate that type of stuff? But just how clear communication helps everything, regardless of if it's football related, if it's personal relationships. And that was very impactful for my time there.
What were some of the like takeaways from a situation like that in regards to the humanness of coaches and players, right? I mean, as fans, we watch the game. We yell at the players for not doing this, for not doing that. We celebrate when they do something good. But, you know, one thing that, you know, I learned talking to Derek Carr a little bit about, you know, about his brothers, like, you don't people don't realize that they are humans, right? They just are gifted in a certain area of life. Absolutely. And they make a lot of money and all that stuff. Was there any sense of that and how they try to communicate how do you live their life and how to take care, you know, of themselves, not only as a person, but as a football player?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I try to think, oh, I'm still a young guy, but I start to get it's like I'm really not. And, you know, you really get to put it in perspective when the rookies show up. You know, and again, these guys are 6'6", 380-pound tackles or whatever, but it's like, no, that's still a young man. You know what I mean? You can see it in their eyes or whatever. But, yeah, I think people don't understand that the part of football and coaching and playing is that, yeah, these are just humans as well, right? And they are absorbing information, trying to do their best during that time. And so you're going to struggle with, you know, the pressure or the situation. And there's a reason why, you know, Johnny's not playing and Jimmy is, and Jimmy might be more talented, you know, but understanding that, you know, there's more to it than just the game of, you know, the X's and the O's. And I think you really got to see that this week in, you know, the difference between professionalism. You know, there was a rookie there at the last 3 days during rookie minicamp, that super talented player, but, you know, body language was terrible, effort was terrible, and just like feeling like, you know, he deserved to be there. It's like, hey, it's a privilege to play this game, and so it's sad where you get to see those as well, you know what I mean? But just really absorbing it all and understand, like, hey, we're lucky to do this thing and lucky to coach, lucky to play football.
You know? Quarterback's room, you got to hang out and break down some film and get the terminology. And then were you able to go out onto the field and call some plays and get some formations out there?
No, I mean, it wasn't anything like where, yeah, you know, that part of it, but okay. I was with the quarterbacks every single day. So that's a pretty heavy coach room. Obviously, the offense coordinator, Zach Robinson's in there, pass game coordinator, TJ Yates, quarterbacks coach, Chandler Whitmer, and the pass game specialist, Coach Zampezi, who's been in the league for like 35 years. And so I really got to tail around with those guys the whole time. And then be with the three veteran quarterbacks, then the three rookie minicamp guys that they brought in. And it was just pretty much information overload. You know, obviously in that position group is that, you know, they've got to absorb the entire offense. So, you know, learning the terminology, how they coach the footwork to each of those protections, run game part of it. And, you know, after that, after getting on the field, really just seeing – you know, how they're translating individual meetings, team meetings, installs into what a practice needs to look like. And then I was just an extra set of hands. So whether that be pushing a you know, cart to be in the way, to they can work pocket movement, to warming the guys up, to working bag drills or that type of stuff. And but really being up in the mix. And it was cool just being a part of Coach Robinson, Zach Robinson's, and seeing him call plays and kind of just like how they – hey, here's the problem. How do we fix the problem? You know, so I think it was really cool to see it done at that level.
Baker Mayfield sighting?
I got to be with him the first 4 days of camp, you know, and I mean, what a cool dude. And I think it's funny that, you know, I think, you know, at that level of, you know, I guess famousness or however you want to look at it is, you know, sometimes like, you know, you look at the guy and it's like, oh, he's just doing it for the cameras. But I mean, that is exactly who that guy is. He has so much charisma and just moxie. He's the guy that walks around the facility. He's like, oh yeah, that's Mayfield, you know. And I don't think you understand the difference between elite quarterback play and NFL quarterbacks. And they're, you know, Jake Browning, who's a Folsom kid. You know, he's the backup quarterback for him right now, and super talented football player. But just the difference between him and Baker Mayfield, just the way he can layer a football, put it anywhere. And just how much of a competitor, you know, Baker is. They've got a equipment guy there that catches a lot of the balls for the quarterbacks. And, you know, the guys, you know, they call him Smiley. He's 5'5". And, you know, Baker missed one throw to him, which it's just more so because the guy's 5 foot five. He was a regular 6 foot something receiver. You know, it's a catch or whatever, but misses him a little bit high. And the frustration in him, just because he missed one ball out of the 35 balls he threw during warmups, was like a true, like, I mean, I can't do that. I can't miss, you know. And I think that's what separates him from everybody else in that room, you know.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my follow-ups after I first heard you talking about the quarterback's room. Just when you're among guys that can make every throw from every position, what is that like for you? I don't like for me, I don't equate that to baseball, to seeing – you know, Shohei Ohtani up close taking batting practice. Like, how would you equate what were you able to see?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I've been super lucky. You know, either at the junior college level or high school level, I've had some very talented quarterbacks, some guys that have elite, you know, Division I FBS arm talent. But there are tiers to all of this, you know what I mean? And then you kind of just see, you know, the precision on every single throw. You know what I mean? That you can be at a practice, oh, that's a good throw. But when you're doing it on every single throw, that's the difference between the NFL and everybody else. That's why they're paid the big bucks. You know?
What's something that you had no clue about as far as the NFL level, how organizations are run, that you came home with, like, man, I had no clue. That didn't even – what wasn't even on my radar, just as far as the details or how things are operated.
You know, I think I did a lot of research. I talked to a lot of good people.
Wait, you do research? You never do research.
Yeah. No, not I'm a football
you
nerd.
Are,
so I try to prepare myself as best as I could. But I think going there and just being so in awe, even though I was prepared for it, is still like, I mean, very grateful for the opportunity, but nothing was too much other than just like how many behind the scenes people there are that are just tugging in the same direction was awesome. From the academy people to the ownership there, the Glazier family were just so welcoming. And this is like, you know, they're the only NFL program that runs this national academy. And so this was their kind of brainchild, and they're every year trying to perfect it, but they just have the belief of, like, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a high school coach, a collegiate coach, or, you know, you don't have the last name, an NFL name, to get you into the industry. And that's kind of how they run their operation. So just really cool to see the behind the scenes people and the people that care about the organization.
Garza coach Yosef Ferris has talked about his experience with the 49ers. I believe four times he's able to go there and be involved in their operations. And that's what a lot of the stuff that you are saying now is the stuff that he talks about as well. You guys had some conversations before you took off with?
Yeah, super lucky that, we got to connect and he's been awesome with me, but just kind of preparing me for what's it going to be like and, you know, how I can be more helpful to the organization. I think that's what I wanted to show, is just like, you know, I'm a free set of hands. I'll do whatever. There was a time when the rookie showed up during the rookie mini camp where we're in the indoor, and Blake Stewart, who's their offense quality control, I wanted to help him out as much as I could. So I'm putting on a blue bonnet to show that I'm a defense lineman, a three technique, and so I'm getting blocked by 380-pound, you know, guys that are trying to make the team. So I'm all bruised up still from these guys putting their hands on me. But no, Yosef was awesome as far as preparing me. He's done it at such an elite level for the last 4 years. And, you know, training camp, you know, he's gone for a month and a half of doing what I got to do in a shorter amount of time. And so, I think he does an awesome job at Garza. So it was really cool for him to help me out.
What are some of the takeaways that you're going to try to instill in your program at Hanford High School?
You know, that there were some little things that seem so elementary and that we just do not even do at Hanford. And it was like day one, they're doing routes on air. And, you know, typically whatever, you have 8-10 receivers, and they're going to run their individual routes and burst through, and they're going to finish on the other end of the field. Well, typically once you know, at our level, I guess we've always done it, you throw the ball, and then they're going to trot back to the line, and we're going to throw again. Well, something they do at their level that I really loved is that once those routes are thrown and they burst through it, those quarterbacks are going to run down there, and they're coming back the other way. And it's more to kind of tip the hat. Like, you got guys that are going balls to the wall as far as their speed, and the quarterbacks are just sitting back there waiting for these guys to come back.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The least you can do is go run down there, and we can throw it the other way, right? And so just little things like that as far as the efficiency part of it, that is the number one thing. They're just so efficient in everything they do, you know, down to the minute. And we've done that for a long time, but I think just the little tweaks will really affect the way we practice this year.
Terminology-wise, though, you're still going to try to keep it as simple as possible?
Yeah, no, I think we've been you know, very lucky with our success with our terminology here. But I will say the attention to detail, the little things you can tweak to gain advantages, that's what they have to do at the NFL. When you have elite on both sides of the ball, you got to find matchups. And so I think, you know, with the longer terminology, that's the little tweak to make sure, hey, you know, Godwin is going to be on this corner instead of this other corner, right? And so just tweaking the formation and tweaking the play concept is why you get those long verbiage words like that.
Were other coaches genuinely interested in how you run your offense at Hanford High School? Like, you're like, hey, what do you guys do? Like, how what do you do in this situation? Like other coaches?
Yeah. Not only the academy guys. So we had some time where we could kind of chop it up and just see, you know, from, you know, the Texas A&M offensive line coach, the Ole Miss wide receivers coach, how they do things, and then from the high school or, you know, Division III, Division II level coaches, just kind of swapping ideas or why, you know, we are the way we are at Hanford or why they, you know, are at Texas A&M. And so we got to talk about that. And then I really hit it off with the pass game specialist with Tampa Bay, Ken Zampezi. So he was with Marvin Lewis with the Bengals for like 15 years and was a play caller. And so now he has like the best job in the world where he gets to pretty much watch the 31 other teams in the NFL or elite college programs and pull some things from them, put it in their terminology, and kind of just present it to Coach Robinson. And, hey, we can do these in these situations. So, like, first day there, get to have a cup of coffee with him, and he wanted to know, like, what do we do on offense at Hanford, right? And so we're showing him, and he was so interested in it. I think he spent the entire week like, hey, well, you could do this out of that. You could do this out of that. And so I got a master class from him every day. I would try to show him, get in the office about 6 o'clock before we got going just to, like, pick his brain. But he was so helpful and made a great relationship that hopefully lasts a lifetime with
him. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I could see you guys maybe texting after a game like, what would you do this, coach?
Yep.
And
then
giving you some feedback. Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Got a couple more minutes with Cannon Sanchez. The swag you came back with. I'm interested. You're wearing a Tampa Bay right now. I mean, what'd you come home with?
Oh, I can't. Actually, I got so much stuff right when I got to the hotel. My bed was covered in, you know, all the cool stuff they got us. And then I learned this from my college days too, but like the first person you got to make friends with is the equipment staff, right? So I met those guys like day one, and I peeked my head into the equipment room the second day, and I learned their names well enough. And I was, hey, what do I got to do to get a vest around here? Jokingly. And he's like, yeah, man, what size are you? And so I got so much stuff from Tampa, I could not fit it in my luggage. So they said, hey, just give us your address, and they shipped it back to Hanford. So I got
two,
3 days ago. But, I mean, duffel bag, backpack, two pairs of shoes, hats, visors, jackets, pants, everything, you know.
Like better than Christmas. Probably the best gift you've ever received in your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I think I have to be a Buccaneers fan with all
this. You have to. The rest of your life.
Yeah.
You are indebted to that organization.
Yeah.
All right. Final question. What are the Bullpups going to look like next year? Give us a little tease of you guys and what you're going to bring to the field.
You know, we're excited. I think we had a really good spring. You know, we talked about before we got on air about Jaren Mao, our quarterback. He has taken so much strides into just the understanding of the offense, why we do what we do. He's obviously taken a little bit of a leadership role now being a senior. I think we struggled with some run game stuff last year. I think that looks so much better in the spring without pads, so we're excited to get the pads on and really build off of that. We were such a passing-based team last year. We were just shy of throwing for 3,000, you know what I mean? And that's all well and good, but, you know, to win football games, you got to have a run game. And then defensively, we're going to have a kind of a whole new look, which I'm super excited about. I got to really dig my teeth into that, but Coach Mendoza, our new defense coordinator, we're going to look very multiple. And so excited about what that's going to look like.
Well, excited about football season coming up in August. We'll be here before we know it. But excited for you, Ken, and hearing about your experience and following it on Twitter a little bit and seeing your picture with the other 24 guys, right? It looked really cool as well. So happy to hear about your experience. And it couldn't happen to a better guy. I knew you were absolutely in, I don't know, football Disneyland, however you want to equate it. So, hey, I'm happy for you. Good job.
Well, thanks for having me on, Paul. I appreciate it, seriously.
You bet. You bet. All right, Cannon Sanchez, head coach at Hanford High. Lots of good stuff, man, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay fan for life. We're going to turn our attention to some more baseball talk after the break. You're listening to it on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Oh, that was a fun conversation with Cannon Sanchez about his experience with the Tampa Bay Coaching Academy. Good stuff, man. One of the great guys. So, yeah, very, very, very happy for him. And I mentioned that we're going to be talking about more about baseball. We are in the final segment with Coach Tony Mills from Liberty High School down in Bakersfield. But John Jay is on the line right now. Boys and girls, volleyball coach at Buchanan defeated Clovis 3-2 to win the Division I Central Section title. They were down 2-0. I was following that on Twitter. My son-in-law actually went to the game, was texting some updates as well. Just an incredible, incredible evening 2 nights ago, like I mentioned. So, John, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. So it's been a day and a half or so. Just kind of where are you at with winning another Central Section title for Buchanan, especially in the way that you did? Like, what's kind of your feeling walking around the house or going out and hanging out with friends?
Well, you know, this one was like, I mean, being in a Valley Championship match is exciting, and that's it's always a good time, and always playing against Clovis High when we have our epic matches and battles. Seems like we always tend to go five and to go either way. But this one with the group of guys we have, and one of them being my son on the team, I think was for me a little bit more special than most, being able to share this moment, you know, forever with family was exciting.
Okay, so walk us through the game. Obviously, the rivalry between the two schools, you're super familiar with their program. They're super familiar with yours. Just kind of the build up before the game. What was that like?
Well, you know, we got the third seed. We split in the track, so we were both co-champs of our league, which we had split. So it was a battle at that point. Then we went into playoffs. We got the third seed. So we had to go on the road and play to get in. You know, we played at Bullard. And guys were clicking. We just in May we tend to kind of get better. And when we got to beat Bullard in the semis and get ready for Clovis, we've seen them. We know those guys. Our guys know them. They know us. We play club together with Central Cal Volleyball Club, and we knew it was going to be a battle. You know, because all the guys, we know their tendencies. They know ours. I know Rich for years. He knows me. Like, we knew it was going to be a battle. We knew it wasn't going to be a three and out. And the team that was able to compete and keep their composure, I knew we were going to do well.
So you guys find yourselves down 2-0. You guys fight back for that 3-2 victory. Just kind of walk us through those first two games. What wasn't working, and how were you guys able to counteract that the final three games?
You know, I think at the beginning, we started off really slow. We weren't quite ourselves yet. We weren't really 100% locked in. We weren't playing necessarily bad, but Clovis was playing absolutely, like, perfect volleyball. That first set, I don't think they had an error. And we just were trying to sustain that and kind of make a good play here and there and then try to build off that slowly. And then first set, I think we
all right, so
25-20.
Yeah.
And then
sorry, I lost you for a second.
Started clicking a little bit better. I think we were up at 1:15-9, and Clovis found a way to come back. And the crowd there was amazing. I think it was a sellout crowd, standing room only. The energy in that gym was amazing too. So we go down two sets, and then, like you said, we battled back in the third and fourth to finish off that fourth set. Our right side Finley, Carter Finley, had a monster game, had an energy going, which then led the energy into the fifth set.
So that final fifth set, when the final point was finally won by you guys, just describe the celebration and what was going on with your entire team.
Yeah, I mean, it was a battle there at the end. We were able to get a little bit of a separation, a few points, and our guys were just relentless, scrappy, diving. I mean, doing things that, just showing that their heart and passion was just, they were not going to be denied tonight. And they hung in together. We made a few subs here and there. The subs came in, made differences, and changed the game too for us. And then after the last point, I think our right side, Drew Lemire, puts it down for the kill. Our student body was amazing. With our baseball guys, our volleyball guys, our lower levels dressed up in suits and ties. Our girls team was there. Wrestlers were there. I mean, everybody was there. They just came and wanted to celebrate with their peers, jumped onto the court, celebrated with the guys. It was a great moment.
That's amazing. Yeah, my son-in-law was there, and he said that was one of the best matches he's ever seen in his life. So how many total titles for Buchanan boys volleyball? What are you guys up to?
I believe it's like 13 or 14.
And how many were you a part of?
I've been a part of all of them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Are you getting tired of this stuff or what? Or it never gets old for you?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who wins, never gets old winning. That winning feeling is something, it's a high that you want to just keep repeating.
And the girls program won also over Clovis. You guys are the three seeds, so you guys like that number three, apparently.
It was like the same scenario. Yeah, the girls, we were 1-3, Clovis was 1. We played in their North Gym, 1-4 in the fall, and then the guys, we were the three seed, they're the one seed, and 1-5 in the springtime. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great year for Buchanan, for sure.
Yeah, obviously, man, you throw in wrestling and boys basketball making to the championship game and cross country and all this stuff, man. Buchanan's having a heck of a season athletically. Talking about John Jay, head coach at Buchanan. All right, last question for you. Just kind of give us why this team and what made this so special. You mentioned coaching your son, but just kind of the overall vibe of this team. Why was it so fun?
It was so fun because we've been with these guys for a while. These guys are a great group of guys, great individuals, great character, tough guys. It was challenging because at times, putting them through different workouts, they want, sometimes don't want to do workouts, don't want to run and whatnot. But, you're going to get that from year to year. But I think what was special is that we came together as a team, and our top guys, they're able to kind of set their egos aside and just do whatever needed to be done for the team's success. And once we were able to do that and become one, that's when we made a big difference. I think the last four weeks or so, our guys came together, and we were just a different team to finish out the year.
And the season is definitely not over. I believe on Sunday you're going to find out where you play in the state playoffs. But, hey, congrats on another great season, man. 13, 14, whatever state or central section titles that you won is just crazy to me. But you're one of the great ones, not only in the central section, but in the state of California. So congrats on another great year, John. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
You bet. You bet. All right. We're going to take a break, and we are going to finish with some more baseball talk. We got Tony Mills, the head coach at Liberty, who's putting up crazy numbers, going to be welcoming the number 5 seed Buchanan Bears on Tuesday. You're listening to it all in the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. We We are ending the show strong, not only with Boston, man. Riley's musical choice has been on point, but baseball is the Division I playoffs. Teams are absolutely loaded. And Liberty is on a heater right now. Defeated Clovis West 12-2, powered 5 home runs. Going to be facing Buchanan on Tuesday. Remember, they won the 2024 Division I Central Section Championship, the SoCal State Championship as well in Division II. We got Coach Tony Mills on the line right now. Coach Mills, always great to talk to you. Congrats on a great season so far. How are you doing?
Doing well, Paul. Thanks for having me on the show today. And it's always an honor to talk with you.
All right. Yeah, thank you. Likewise. Let's just dive into yesterday's game. You guys came out swinging. Swinging the bats, powered the 5 home runs. Like I said, I think your freshman had 2 home runs in his first 2 at-bats. Walk us through those first couple innings what you guys were able to accomplish.
You know, our guys have a real good feel, real good approach, even though we're a real young team. Still, you know, we have some seniors that have some good leadership skills for us that have been in big ball games. You know, like you said, back in 24, a couple of guys on the field. One played third base for us, and the other one played left field for us. And the one that played left field is named Brody Berry. And anyway, Brody Berry got the game winning hit in a 10-inning ball game in 2024. So they've been in the trench, you know. They've been in the battles, and these seniors that we have on their team have helped these younger guys just develop so much, just like how to come to the field every day, how to go about your business. And we have a really good approach, and you know. And we're fortunate to have some guys that have some size and they understand how their body works. And they just, you know, they use the leverage. And the bottom line is you know, you look at the way we go about our business in the plate. Because I learned this from Randy Roberts a long time ago at Centennial, because he was just a phenomenal coach. And he told me, he's like, Coach, the way these ballparks play down here in Bakersfield, and our ballpark is the biggest public school park in town. Centennial is a little bit smaller than us. He goes, hey, first 2 swings are for them. The last and pretty much we've adopted that philosophy. And I just felt really good with our week's preparation and what we do in practice. We do a pretty good job, the whole coaching staff. I mean, I'm lucky to have a guy that's been with me for 22 years. His name's Chris Barron, and he's going to be our new athletic director. So I'm kind of like worried about, hey, I'm not going to have Coach Barron with me next year. And we just do a real good job of developing players and our kids buy in what we're selling, and they understand that, you know, you're going to fail a lot more than you're going to be successful. And that's such a hard thing to get to kids in their mind, especially high school kids, where, man, they see some kid they've gotten hits off their whole career, and then now this kid gets them out, and then they think there's something wrong. And we've done a real good job of managing their minds and just trying to keep it clear and not press and just let the game come to you and really truly talk with them about the game and make the adjustments. We don't beat them down. You know, we try to build them up completely and just understand that, hey, you guys got the talent to do it. You just got to let the game come to you. And when we try to press the game, that's when we get in a little bit of trouble. And luckily, we haven't had too much of that this year, but we've learned from it when we've had that problem.
And I'm happy that you mentioned those seniors, guys that have been through the grind and won a Central Section title. And you know, I've heard about those 2 young bucks that you're probably referring to as big pieces of your team. And you know, I mentioned the couple homers from Pierce Buckey as a freshman, going to be a Division I football player, probably could be a Division I baseball player as well. And then Brogan Witcher, who came on my radar earlier in this season. I've watched his videos and I've heard about, you know, reclassifying to be a senior next year, only a sophomore right now. And you people down here just rave about those guys. What do those guys bring to the field? What impresses you about them?
You know, the thing is that they're very coachable. You know, usually sometimes when you have some talented kids, you know, especially if they're young, and they are, like Brogan, he's going to turn 17. He's still 16 years old. I mean, and when he came to me, he's like, hey, Coach Mills, I need to talk to you about something. I was like, okay, hey, close the door. I go, hey, it's about reclassifying. He's like, how'd you know? And I go, I've known for 2 months. You know, and he's just a pleasure to be around. And you know, the thing is with him is that he catches for us, and now he closes for us. At the beginning of the year, we were using him as our Friday guy, so we'd have a couple days to rest and you know, then come back and catch for us. But we're using him as our closer now, just kind of just trying to manage his shoulder. And He doesn't have any injuries, but, you know, I was lucky enough to play with a guy named Darren Dreifert, the second overall pick at Wichita State next to Alex Rodriguez in 93, and he was my road roommate. And he was a catcher-pitcher before he came to Wichita State, and then the Dodgers ended up drafting him. So I've got to talk with him a little bit how to manage Brogan, just from a standpoint of, you know, having to catch a game and then you're going to pitch. And in Kansas, this is crazy. You got 10 dates to play in Kansas, and they're all doubleheaders because you could max your games out at 20. So Darren Dreifert, he would throw the first game of the doubleheader, and then he would catch the first game of the doubleheader, and then the second game he'd throw. And that's just too much wear and tear on a kid. So we're trying to manage that with Brogan. And not only can he, you know, he does so much for us on the mound and behind the plate, and he keeps the running game in check, but he's our leadoff hitter, and he runs really well. And he has just a great makeup of taking pitches, and he really does a phenomenal job. He's advanced with his mindset of, you know, he understands that you're going to fail. And it's just like we talked about the other day, because his average dropped a little bit. I was like, hey, man, look at Ohtani right now. Ohtani, he's trying to figure it out right now, and he's, you know, the greatest two-way player in the history of the game, you know? And then you go talk about Bucky, and Bucky is 6'5", and our measurements on Max Preps are correct, because I bring him in. I bring him in, and I don't ask him, hey, what are you? No, I measure it. I weigh him. I put it in Max Preps, and what those measurements are, they're spot on. And anyway, Bucky measured at 6'5", 240. He's down to 235 right now. And the thing is with Bucky, he's an extremely gifted athlete. He can probably play anywhere on the field. That's what type of athlete he is. But he's so raw and so new into the game. And it's so much fun to coach him because, man, we just take it A, and then we take the B, and then we take the C, and we just, you know, we're just learning how to play the game and, you know, what type of pitches are you seeing and why do they pitch you like this? And him just getting to understand the things. And, you know, he hit 2 home runs yesterday and 12 on the year. And he's got 40 RBIs and he's hitting the 5 spot for us and playing left field. And he's, you know, a guy that is also a football player. Yeah, last year was his first year of tackle football, believe it or not. They moved him up for the playoffs at the end of the year. And, you know, he's got some offers for football, but I'm telling you right now, he's a needle in a haystack when it comes to baseball. I mean, he can run. He's got power. I mean, he's got it all, and he's going to continue to just get better and better.
Amazing. Yeah, I've heard about those kids all year and seen the videos. You definitely have some dudes down there. We only got a couple minutes with you, Coach. Sorry putting you against the clock a little bit. You're an amazing coach to talk with. You got tons of stories. You're playing Buchanan. I want to get a feel for what you know about the Bears, their historic program. You know, the top of their lineup is very impressive. You're going to your ballpark to play on your field. What can you expect when you face the Bears on Tuesday?
You know, the Bears are a team that's been the staple in the section for, you know, 2+ decades that I've, you know, been at Liberty High School. You know, they're the one that's always been on the top, and we've kind of been chasing those guys. And, you know, and so we know if you're going to win a sectional championship, you're going to have to play Buchanan to find a way to beat those guys. And they've been good. I mean, we played a home and away with them this year. We do it every year. Coach Fonce does an unbelievable job. I just respect him so much. And, you know, even Tom Donald before him, I mean, the program's just incredible. And we know that we're going to have to be on point. We're going to have to play, you know, we're going to pitch really well because they got some guys, they got some thump, you know, and the air's drier. It's more dry down here than it is up north. You know, you put a Buchanan team down here in the dry air, you know, they're probably going to hit 20 more home runs. And the thing is that it's supposed to be warm on Tuesday. And if it's warm and the air will be dry, I mean, I think it could be a slugfest, you know. So we're going to have to put on our hitting shoes for sure that day.
And speaking of hitting shoes, according to Max Preps yesterday, I don't know if you added the 5 from yesterday, but 57 home runs as a team at one point, 4 guys in double digits is just crazy. Just talk about your team and your lineup a little bit more and how they might have to adjust to the playoffs. Again, you guys hit 5 home runs yesterday, but playoffs could be a little bit different.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. We're going to see great pitching on Wednesday. Guys that know how to change speed, keep the ball down. We're going to have to make sure we stay disciplined in the strike zone, you know, not chase pitches. So many times, you know, kids want to, you know, because they see it. You know, it's not a big ballpark. Like I said, our ballpark, you know, down the left field line's
315 with a 12-foot fence. And then the dead center field, it's 365. And in the right field foul line, it's 325. We do have an 8-foot fence that goes all the way around it. But so many times, you know, kids like, oh, I'm going to hunt today. I'm going to hunt. And that's when they get big in their swings, and that's when bad things happen. But we had a guy that got eligible after the sit date named Gavin Williams. He's a verbal commit to the University of Oregon. And it was funny, Trevor Horn came up to me yesterday, and he goes, do you know that Gavin Williams is averaging a home run every 4.7 at-bats? And I was like, no, I didn't know that. I knew he hit a bunch of them. But I was like, you know what? I just look at one bat per bat, and I just roll with it like that. But he's been a great addition to our lineup after the sit date. And then we got a kid that plays first base for us, Braden Terman. He got his career 100th hit in high school baseball yesterday. And that's pretty special because that takes a lot of work, and he's done a phenomenal job for us, and he's hit his 10th home run yesterday. So we're just lucky to have some guys that just love playing baseball, and that's the key. It's so funny. We just try to keep it simple. I'll talk to the guys, hey, what are we going to do today, guys? And they're like, we're going to play baseball. And it's fun because it's like we got that elementary school mentality that we're going to have fun while we're playing the game.
Well, that's amazing. You guys are having a great season so far. It's been fun. I haven't been able to watch you in person, but you guys are loaded this year. It's going to be a great game on Tuesday. Coach Mills, always fun to talk to you. Wish we had more time, but good luck the rest of the way. Appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and it should be a good one, and whoever plays best, that's a team that needs to win.
All right, I agree. Hey, that is a wrap for today's show. Yeah, you bet, Tone. Thank you to First String Sports, Fresno, Clovis, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. Jorge for producing the show, and Riley doing an amazing job as well. Jason Pappy, Dan Hydash, Cannon Sanchez, John Jay, and Tony Mills. What a fun show. Thank you guys for listening. Appreciate you all, and we'll talk to you next week.